This is Crime Binge.
And also, I'm just really fucking quiet.
That's okay.
You'll get better.
I'll work on it. I'll just scream.
I just, like, love projecting constantly. My whole state of being is just projecting my voice.
I mean, I also could be closer to the mic. Yeah. Like, I am now than I normally am.
All right. Do we want to get this thing started?
Get this thing rocking and rolling.
All right.
Here, what number is this? Number six?
Yes.
We are on number six.
Episode six of Crime Binge.
Crime Binge.
Woo! I'm Morgan.
And I'm Sarah.
And we're your hosts
of this podcast.
This week, we're going to talk about Aileen Wuornos.
We're doing your badass chick, Aileen Wuornos, Florida's girl serial killer, America's first woman serial killer.
But not really.
No? Who was the first woman serial killer?
Well, like, I'm pretty sure we made a note about it, but she was the first woman to fit the profile of a serial killer, but, like, women have been killing
before that. I read that Robert Ressler, the same guy who did stuff on, I think it was the Zodiac, he, like, said that women can't be serial killers because they're more of a spree killer instead of a thought-out killer, and the only, like, the exception is Aileen Wuornos.
Yeah. It's, and a lot of women killers are like angels of death and
yeah,
things
and black
like that.
Widows. And yeah. She was just like, let me kill everyone.
Yeah. Cause she just broke.
She had daddy issues.
She did. She did. But before we get into all of that,
what are you binging?
I was hoping you would answer that first because I don't fucking know what I'm binging.
You are going to hate my fucking answer.
Okay, well, you answer first because I'm panicking and can't think of it.
You want to know what I'm binging this week?
Oh, God.
I'm binging fucking Pappos.
It's so true.
For people who don't know, Pappos, I think it's just local to our, like, area of Sarasota, Bradenton, Venice, kind of.
Like a Florida thing.
Yeah, but, like, especially to our area. I don't think they're in other parts of Florida.
Yeah.
But they're basically like Chipotle, but 10 times better. So
also
it's like
hipster.
Yes, hipster, very Chipotle. Hipster. It's like street food. I think personally the food is a little fresher. They have some different ingredients.
Yeah.
But it's just like better overall.
I do also love Pappos.
Yes.
I've eaten it twice this week.
So have I.
I thought you ate it three times.
No, I ate it twice.
Oh, okay.
We did go and get tacos on Sunday, though, together, the four of us.
Yeah.
But it was not Pappos.
Sarah, what am I binging this week? Oh, I know what I'm binging this
week. What are you binging this week?
All right, y'all. I'm watching this show on HBO called Gentleman Jack.
Okay.
And it is about a woman in, like, the 19th century, I believe. Like, she's in the 1800s, I think. And she's a lesbian. But, nice. Like, you're not supposed to be a lesbian. So she, like, dresses kind of like a man, but, like, wears a skirt with it.
Okay.
And, like, she's kind of more, like, masculine than, like, feminine.
So
in
she's
that
hip-af.
She is hip-af and, like, she'll just be, like, talking to another woman, and then they'll do, like, a flashback of her just, like, violently fucking this other woman. And it's just a lot, but I love it. It's a good story. I'm digging it.
And so is it just about her being a lesbian in this time, or is there, like, stuff that happens, like...
Well, like, she's running her, like, uncle's development. Like, he was building up a farm and then died, and he didn't trust, like, her father to take over and run the farm correctly, so, like, he put her in charge, and, like, when he died, the will, everything went to her. So, like, it's also a story of, like, her family kind of fucking hating the fact that she's in charge of all of them because she is a free spirit, and like everyone secretly knows that she fucks women, but like her goal is to marry a woman.
Okay.
And like be legitimate that way.
Okay.
Like she talks about how men like are the only ones who can vote and shit like mm-hmm. that, and she's like, that's fucking stupid, I want to vote. So
okay,
yeah,
so
it's cool.
So real like women power feminism.
Yeah, but also,
but you see a lot of
girls doing it.
Yeah, you see a lot of naked chicks.
Yeah, so
I like that.
It's good.
I get that.
I dig it.
You know what's funny, like the very few amount of times we've talked about our significant others, both of our significant others have names that could be either male or female.
That's true.
Like, Corey is more of a male name, but I've known female Corey's.
Yeah, and me then too.
Taylor is definitely a male or female name. So, like,
yeah.
Who knows?
When Taylor and I go out to eat and, like, if both of us pay.
Because you also have a unisex name.
Yeah, people will be like, I don't know whose card is who. Like, you could be Morgan or Taylor. I have no fucking idea. Yeah. So, but yes, both of our significant others are male.
Yep.
So, there we go.
That was factual.
Should we get Alien Werno started?
Yeah, so it doesn't take 10 minutes to start our podcast.
We're at 7 minutes right now.
That's fine.
And I'm going to edit like half of that yeah. out because it's just me going,
I don't know what to binge.
So a lot of people know about Alien Werno. She's definitely famous considering she did earn the title America's first like female serial killer. But, you know, it's not true. A lot of the information, just as like a general disclaimer today, is from Aileen's perspective, because she helped like co-write a book, I think, or not co-write it, but she sold her story to someone, and she lies a lot, basically.
Yeah, she's just a bad person.
Yeah, and she changes her story constantly, so there's never any way to like fully check out what she's saying is real, but some of the stuff I believe her.
Yeah.
I don't think every single man that she met that she murdered tried to rape her.
That's true.
Like,
that is true.
You know what I mean? It very easily could. Men are fucking disgusting. But she also, like,
she's a criminal, like, yeah, she does all this bad stuff.
Like, one of the men had a bruise on his body of a like a gun being pressed into his skin for too long, like classic robbery signs.
Yeah,
like she was just out to rob people and then like kind of got the taste for blood, I think.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I mean, she fucking, we'll get to it, but she beat her fucking husband just
yeah
because her, she was crazy.
Old ass husband yeah. with his fucking cane. Yeah. It was so mean.
Nuts.
So just a general overview. She murdered 7 men during the late 80s and early 90s, which, like, if you think about, was still pretty recently.
Oh, definitely.
But, like,
we were born in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, our siblings were born in the 80s, so it is recent.
But, like, this kind of shit, I think, it's just so much harder to do now, you know? Like, I don't know. It's just weird because it was so recent, but whatever. And let's see. We already said that she isn't really the first serial killer. She was considered a drifter, though. She just like constantly, her whole life pretty much was a drifter. Starting at like around age 11, she started that drifter life, but then really came into it later on. And throughout her entire life, she robbed and beat people, but she didn't start to murder until later when she got to Florida. So Florida really kicked off that yeah. murder in her.
I mean, Florida does that to a lot of people.
It's true.
So a little bit of background information and information on Aileen's early life. She was born Aileen Carol Pittman up in Troy, Michigan on February 29th, 1956. To Diane Wornos and Leo Dale Pittman. Diane Wornos was 14 years old when she married Leo, who he was 16.
Yeah,
they were young. They were little babies. And they got married in 1954. And she immediately has a son named Keith when she's 15. And then Aileen is born when she's 16. After less than 2 years of marriage and 2 months before Aileen was born, Diane filed for a divorce.
But, like, picture marrying the guy you were dating at 15.
No, thank you.
I'm good. So, there's probable cause to divorce, I'm sure.
Oh, definitely, because turns out this guy's fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah, he's a terrible guy.
He is in jail at the time of Aileen's birth and was later convicted of sex crimes against children, particularly for kidnapping and raping a 7-year-old girl.
Love that.
Yeah, he's a good guy, you know? He was diagnosed with schizophrenia and eventually committed suicide by hanging himself in jail in 1969 when Aileen was 12 years old. And fortunately, she never met her father, but she did get some of her shittiness from him, I think.
Runs in the family.
Yeah. And so, in January of 1960, when Aileen is almost 4 years old, her mom, Diane, just fucking leaves. Abandons the kids and left them with her parents, Lori and Britta. Laurie? L-A-U-R-I.
I don't know. I think Lori is the grandma and Britta's the grandfather.
Well,
I don't know.
They're both stupid names. Speaking of names again. With Lori and Britta Wuornos. And they legally adopted Keith and Aileen. And Aileen suffered abuse at the hands of her grandparents, mostly her grandfather, who beat her and sexually assaulted her, and her grandmother was an alcoholic. So, every other serial killer's background.
Yeah.
You're
not special.
Right? Her grandparents' real kids were treated well, but she was treated poorly. And once her grandfather drowned a fucking cat in front of her that she brought home that she was told she couldn't keep.
Yeah, like, he was just a really shitty guy.
So, like, he is also showing serial killer tendencies.
Yeah, honestly.
And developmentally, her IQ was average, but her verbal IQ was about 20 points lower than average, and it never really got better. She was kind of quiet, bad at talking. Like me. Trips over own words.
Yeah, she just, everything that she said was just, like, the most simple way you could really say it. She didn't really, like, gain that skill to develop stronger sentences, essentially. Like, she just kind of always spoke like someone in elementary school with, like, very broken short sentences.
Yeah, and she also, I think it was Ted Bundy who also had this.
Yes.
That she didn't find out until she was about 11 that her grandparents weren't her real parents.
Yeah, which is when she started
getting real bad.
Yeah.
And so because of this, she starts acting out. She begins engaging in sexual activities in exchange for cigarettes, drugs, and food. Which, she is 11 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was 11, I didn't have my fucking period. Like, I wasn't developed at all. I was a fucking stick.
Yeah.
And, like, no one should find that sexually attractive.
I mean, maybe other 11-year-olds, but even when I was 11, I remember specifically my crush told me to my face that I was ugly. So
that's fucking rude. It's okay. Remember when I was an adult, like, 3 years ago, I went on a fucking Tinder date and the guy
this is my favorite thing ever, because it's so fucking specific. I love it.
This guy told me that I needed to pluck my eyebrows, and I was like, or do something with my eyebrows.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bitch, thick eyebrows are in right now, and they're also not even that thick.
Sarah is one of those people who literally doesn't have to fucking do anything to her eyebrows, and they're fine. Like,
I brush them and stuff.
No, but I know, but, like, I, on the other hand, if I didn't pluck my eyebrows, would have a strong unibrow, and they would go, like, halfway up my fucking forehead because I got my dad's eyebrows. Like, I got old man eyebrows that I have sculpted into the eyebrows that I have today. So that guy can go fuck himself.
Anyways, about all these eyebrows. Oh, people.
All these eyebrows.
People were also fucking mean to her. And after doing all this stuff for all these sexual activities.
Yeah.
She got the name Cigarette Pig. Which is
the meanest name.
So fucking rude. And like other people in town said that like people treated her really badly.
Yeah.
And some boys, like, they would claim that they lost their virginity to her, sometimes five at a time. And, like, when you're, like, 12 years old, you're not gangbanging people. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Especially in the 60s. Where the fuck did you grow up?
Well, they said, like, that they would just line up at, like, five at a time and be like, all right, we're gonna go fuck Aileen and lose our virginities. It's like, you didn't do that.
No.
That didn't happen. Shut the fuck up.
You don't know what's happening down there. Are you kidding? Me losing my virginity was so fucking awkward because no one knew what was happening.
Yeah, exactly. No one knows what's going on. Where do you put anything?
Yeah. Where does this go now? But anyways, after that, she also had a sexual relationship with her brother. And again, this is all like a claim from her stories, but apparently they got it on.
Yeah, like as a way to deal with being treated poorly, she said that they like found closure being in a sexual relationship together.
They were just really close, Morgan.
I mean, that's a little too close for me. I'm gonna be honest.
We're in Michigan, not Alabama. No offense. It was a joke that we tell my boyfriend all the time.
Yes. Her boyfriend loves Alabama.
Yes.
The football team, not like state as a whole. Maybe he does. I don't know. I don't know that much about Corey.
But anyways, so in 1970, when she was 13 years old, she got pregnant after being raped by like a family friend, someone that her grandfather knew. So yeah. Like an old guy. And she gave birth to a boy in an unwed mother's home when she was 14, which she was the same age as her mother when she gave birth. We all see how well that happened or ended up.
Yeah.
And that little boy was put up for adoption. No one knows about it, has seen it, anything like that.
Yeah.
Soon after she gave birth, she dropped out of school. And around this time, her grandmother died of liver failure. And supposedly,
this is the most hardcore fucking thing ever. And I hope it's true.
I know.
Like, it's so disrespectful. Don't get me wrong. But it's also so fucking hardcore.
Yeah, she's a badass bitch. Like, this is, if someone fucking does you wrong, this is what you do. So her grandmother dies. And apparently she's kicked out of the funeral because she walks up to her fucking grandmother in this casket and blows goddamn smoke in her grandmother's face.
Yeah. She didn't even attend her grandfather's funeral later when he dies.
Yeah.
But she was just like, I'm coming in for it.
Well, the reason why she didn't attend her grandfather's funeral when he died later was because at 15, he kicked her out of the house. And this is kind of where she began her life as a drifter. She supported herself in sex work still and lived in the woods near her old home. And there were other kids that would live with her. It was kind of like this grungy area where like bad kids and homeless kids and like people that ran away from home would just fucking hang out.
I'm coughing so much tonight.
It's okay. Around this time she starts hitchhiking around the country.
So she doing all this hitchhiking, she was arrested on May 27th, 1974 at 18 years old in Jefferson County, Colorado, for a DUI, disorderly conduct, and firing a gun from a vehicle. And she actually never got charged specifically because she failed to appear in court for this. Wuornos then hitchhiked to Daytona Beach, Florida in 1976, And when she was there, she met Louis Grotzfell, who was a 69-year-old yacht club president, and married him the same year. Which, it's, like...
He's Hugh Hefner. He is her Hugh Hefner.
She's 20 and marrying an almost 70-year-old.
Yeah.
So, it might not work out. Who knows? She still hung out at the local bars, even though she was married, though, and she would get wasted and try to fight people, just, like, constantly trying to fight people.
She was, like, a scrapper, and all she knew was, like, surviving for her life, and she was like, if this guy's gonna fuck with me, he's gonna try and kill me or rape me, and I'm gonna fucking beat some ass.
Which, like, I understand. She was assaulted growing up her entire life, so she probably was a little bit paranoid that anybody who she met was going to hurt her, like we all are.
Like, yeah,
as a woman, because, as you all are.
Yeah, and especially because, like, people she was close, like her grandfather and her brother, like, would
hurt her.
Yes.
Yeah. And she went to jail for assault because of this, for fighting people. She then... like we said earlier, beat her husband almost to death with his own cane because she got mad at him one night and they got in a fight.
Which is so rude.
Yeah. And he ended up filing a restraining order against her. That did not stop her, though. She, like, kept coming back and trying to get more from him. Their marriage was annulled on July 21st after only 9 weeks of marriage.
So even less than her parents.
And even, is that less than Kim Kardashian's first marriage?
I think so. Or no, I think Kim Kardashian's first marriage was like 3 weeks.
Oh, then it's not as funny. I don't know anything about the Kardashians, honestly. I just know.
I also know nothing, so that's just a wild guess.
Okay. So, between the restraining order and the end of the marriage, Aileen went back to Michigan and was arrested on July 14th for assault and disturbing the peace after throwing a cue ball at a bartender's head. Same.
Same. Yeah.
Only 3 days later, on July 17th, her brother died of esophageal.
Yes.
Esophageal cancer, and Aileen received $10,000 from his life insurance, which is really nice because they were like, they had a good relationship. A little too good.
Relationship.
But Aileen spent all of the money she got from her brother when he died within 2 months.
But also me.
And she bought a luxury car with this money that she almost immediately crashed.
Also me. Which is why my car is the cheapest thing I could buy.
So then she gets back to Florida. She kind of goes, like, all over until she makes her way back to Florida. The whole time getting into shit, getting, like, put in jail for a little bit because of a crime. And then she just bails because she's a drifter. She goes back to Florida and she is... what? Okay. On May 20th, 1981, Edgewater, Florida, she was arrested for the armed robbery of a convenience store in a bikini, which is fucking great. I love that.
This woman is hardcore.
She's also, like, just so Florida to her core.
Yes, like, she was meant for Florida.
She may have been born in Troy, Michigan, but she fucking... is Florida incarnate.
Yeah, she lives that Florida lifestyle. Like that Bell's commercial, live the Florida lifestyle. She does that to the edge.
She does. She's like the worst parts of Florida. So she stole $35 and 2 packs of cigarettes, gets caught after her car breaks down while driving away from the store. And because of this, she went to jail from May 4th, 1982 to June 30th, 1983. So like a little over a year. And in 1984, in Key West, she's arrested again for trying to pass off forged checks at a bank. And then in 1985, in November, and in Pasco County, she's named as a suspect in the left of a...
It's supposed to say theft.
Oh, okay.
I wrote these really late.
So, in 1985 in Pasco County, she's named as a suspect in the theft of a revolver and ammunition. And during this time, by the way, like, there's a ton more crimes she committed. We're just not going to list them all here because it would take too long.
Yeah.
So, around this same time, she meets Tyra Moore, who at the time was a hotel maid, but she really was also a drifter, so she kind of just picked up odd jobs. And they met at a Daytona gay bar that was appropriately named the Zodiac.
That's amazing.
That's a good callback, especially because while we're recording this, we released our first two episodes.
I know, today. It's so exciting.
We're so stoked. And they moved in together, essentially, and became a crime duo. So they started living life on the edge.
What's also funny, there is another appropriately named bar later. So her relationship with this Tyra Moore, as we said before, she was a hotel maid and sometimes she worked, but she was mostly okay. Like, she was kind of hesitant, but mostly okay with Aileen supporting her through the money she made during her sex work. And Aileen was also very controlling and preferred Tyra not to work.
Yeah.
And we're also gonna sometimes call her Ty. That was what Aileen called her.
Yeah. And Tyra is spelt kind of dumb. So.
It is spelt kind of dumb. There's an I in there somewhere.
Sorry if that's how you spell your name. But it's kind of dumb.
A little bit. Like, spell it like Tyra Banks. Because, you know, she existed back then. Aileen says that once she was in this relationship, she started getting angry about the way that her and her partner were being treated. And they were discriminated against in many ways by not being able to find places to live. Landlords would raise their rent really high if they did find a place that would accept them.
Mm-hmm.
And one time their neighbors even killed their pets because they were like, you're a fucking lesbian. Yeah. Which is fucking ridiculous.
Especially, like, I mean, that shit would probably still happen even today, but it just feels...
Like, raising your rent is one thing, but, like...
Murdering someone's pets a lot.
Even if my neighbor was a fucking serial killer, I'm not gonna murder their pet. Their pet did nothing to me. Their pet is great.
Also, I've never seen John Wick, but apparently that's what sets off the entire fucking story as someone kills his pet.
It which certainly does.
Same as fuck.
Yes, I would murder anyone that killed my honeydew. Also, my dog's name is Honeydew.
And she's a great dog.
She is.
She's a cylinder.
She's real fucking fat. But it's okay because she's real old. But anyways, back to the story and less about the dog. In the end, Tyra was also Aileen's downfall. She said that she wasn't involved in any murders, but she kind of suspected that Aileen was committing them. And
which, I like, motherfucker had to know because I'm pretty sure she was with her when some of them happened.
Well, so in, like, the next kind of block of notes, I say a little bit more about that. So Tyra tried to get her to confess to the murders by saying, like, that she was afraid the police would come for her. And Tyra spoke with her for 4 days in a row, attempting to get Wuornos to confess. And she confessed to several of the murders, but insisted that, like, Tyra hadn't known about the murders and that they were all rapes. And, like, she was raped and everything.
Yeah.
And she did, though, say that originally after the first murder, Aileen admitted that she killed someone, but Tyra didn't believe her. She was like, no, you didn't.
Yeah, she came home one night and was like, yeah, I just killed a guy. And they were like...
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. And she did know that Aileen committed crimes other than the sex work, because one time they were in a car together that, like, and they crashed it, basically. And Tyra thought that Aileen had bought this car through her sex work money, and Aileen basically is just like, get out of the car and fucking run because I stole this bitch. Which is, she steals the cars of the people that she murders.
Yeah.
So it was one of those cars. And we actually kind of hear about that a little bit later during the murders.
Yeah.
But in the end, Tyra was quoted as saying, we were more like sisters than lovers, as a way to kind of distance herself from her, from the relationship.
Yeah, which
I get fucking, it.
Yeah, but also own up to it, man.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, which she didn't, but also then don't fucking be a co-conspirator in crime.
That's true. Because, you know. I mean, she was still a shitty fucking person. She just didn't murder a bunch of people.
Yeah, exactly. Supposedly. So, Aileen's, we're going to go right into the murders right now. This was Aileen's first murder, which was Richard Mallory. He was 51 when he was killed, and it took place on November 30th, 1989. He was a Clearwater electronics shop owner who picked up Warnos as a sex worker on I-75 to enlist her services. And he was actually a convicted rapist, okay, that I found out. And he had finished his prison term a few years before meeting Warnos, but he had gone to prison for raping someone. A Volusia?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Fuck yeah, I live in Florida.
Now with our job that we have, like, especially my side.
Yeah.
You have to know the names of the counties, and so I, like, Okaloosa and all this fucking shit, I now have to know.
You know, all these insane,
yeah,
counties.
All this, like, Native American, yeah, sounding stuff.
So, a Volusia County deputy discovered his abandoned car on December 1st, and then his body, his body had been dumped a few miles away in a wooded area under a carpet on December 13th. He had been shot several times in the chest, but it was two bullets found in his left lung that caused hemorrhaging and death. Police actually end up finding stolen items of Richard's at a pawn shop that was pawned by Aileen with her fingerprints on the receipt. So,
yeah,
she def did it.
This comes, like, a little bit later after the murder, which is why they didn't immediately go after her.
Yeah.
But I thought it was, like, an important,
yeah,
thing.
It's true.
And so the next person she kills is 43 years old, and his name is David Spears. And she killed him on June 1st of 1990. So basically in this, she's going back to back to back. Like 89, 90, 90, 90, 90. Like, yeah, she's just taking no breaks.
Also, like, I think that would kind of make her a spree killer.
Yeah.
You know definitely. What I mean?
I mean,
because she did it at the end of,
like, she still takes, like, a month or two in between them.
She does.
Which I think a spree killer is, like, kills all within, like, a certain number of days or something like that.
Right.
But, yeah, she, like, she just starts killing and doesn't fucking take a break.
Yeah, once she unlocks that urge, it just keeps going.
Yeah. And so David Spears was a construction worker, and his body was found along Highway 19 in Winter Garden, which is in Citrus County. And he was naked besides a baseball cap. So, like, weird flex, but okay. Like, doing it with only a baseball cap on.
But, like, how do you only have, you had to have taken off your shirt and put the baseball cap back on.
That's why I was like, weird flex, but okay.
That's like taking everything off but leaving your socks on.
I hate that. Like, you know, sometimes in, like, movies or TV shows, like, they do it or yeah, they're under the sheets rustling around, and the guy's just still wearing socks.
Yeah, I it bothers fucking me hate so it. Much. Don't wear socks in bed, one.
So, there was a story that I wanted to tell you for this podcast.
Oh, yes.
And it has to do with socks.
Okay.
So, yesterday, yes, taking a quick break, we had a conversation on Sunday about psychopaths putting on one sock and then one shoe and then one,
yeah,
sock and one shoe instead of sock, sock, shoe, shoe.
Yeah.
So yesterday, Corey gets out of the shower. He fucking is putting on his socks and shoes, and all of a sudden, I see him fling his shoe off of his foot and start freaking out. And I thought that there was, like, a spider on his shoe,
yeah,
or something. And he goes, I've never fucking done that before in my life. I don't know what is happening. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he goes, I did sock, shoe, sock, shoe. And I was like, you're a fucking psychopath, my guy. And I thought you would really fucking enjoy
that. I do.
But,
just so offended by his own doing.
He was so upset. he was freaking out. And I was like, what is wrong? And he was like, I did it. And I just fucking died. I immediately almost called you. And I was like, nah, this is better.
I'll save it for the podcast.
Exactly. I can't. Even though we see each other every day at work. Yeah. I have to save some stuff. But back to David Spears. He was naked besides his baseball cap. And he died of 6 bullet wounds to the torso. So she's emptying the fucking round. And all of these, by the way, were done with a .22 caliber gun.
Okay.
They were all done with the same weapon.
Yeah. So her next murder is Charles Carskadden. He was 40 years old, and this took place on today, May 31st
of
1990. He worked as a part-time rodeo worker, and his body was actually found only 5 days after Spears' body was found. It was very badly decomposed because it's Florida, so...
Yeah, it's swampland.
Shit decomposes quickly here. And his body was also found by I-75, 60 miles south of Pasco County, and he was shot 9 times. I think one of her nicknames is, like, the I-75 killer.
Yeah.
But, like, I-75 is the entire fucking state, almost.
It is. Like, I-75 runs from Key West, Florida, all the way to Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay.
So, it basically just runs up kind of starting with, like, the west side of Florida and then going to the middle of Florida. But it's the whole fucking state. And I think another reason why she kind of gets away with it and kills so many people
is because it's all in different counties.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, she goes Pasco, she goes fucking Citrus, she goes a lot of other counties.
Because she's a drifter.
Yeah, exactly.
She is a drifter.
And she always comes home to Tyra.
She does.
But after Charles is Peter Symes, who is 65 years old, and this happens in June of 1990. He is heading to Arkansas from Jupiter, Florida, and he was a retired merchant seaman who...
I was gonna let it go, but you couldn't.
I know, I couldn't. We didn't have any 1969s in this, so I had to do a seaman joke.
We couldn't do that.
So he was a merchant seaman who was also a big member in Christian outreach ministry programs. So he was an overall, like, seemingly good guy.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. Church people can still be trash people.
That is true. And this is what we were talking about before. On July 4th, his car is found in Orange Springs, Florida. And this is where Aileen and Tyra are seen abandoning the car. They crashed it. People are trying to help them. Fucking Aileen rips the license plate off with her goddamn bare hands. And they run off into the woods. So people see them.
An icon.
Yeah. And get a description. And police also get Aileen's fingerprints off of the car. And several of this gentleman's personal items also turned up in local pawn shops the days following his murders. So she's just trying to, like, she's just killing, robbing, selling shit.
Yeah, like, she's definitely only, I don't know.
Like, instead of actually doing sex work, she is just robbing them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So her next murder is Troy Burress, and he was 50 years old when he died. He died on July 31st of 1990. He was a sausage salesman from Ocala, Florida. Finn. And he was reported missing by his manager after failing to show up for work. His delivery truck is found on State Road 19 with the keys missing and the doors unlocked. And his body is found on August 4th in a wooded area with 2 gunshot wounds.
And the next person is Charles Dick Humphreys, who is age 56. And all these people are in their 50s and 60s. And keep in mind, at this time, Aileen is only in her early 30s.
Yeah.
So she's still looking decent. She looks, if you see her fucking mug shots and everything, she looks real cracked up. But she's still decent looking.
Yeah. She was cute when she was younger.
Yeah, definitely. And she murdered, he was 56, she murdered him on September 11th. Of 1990. And This guy was a retired Air Force major, a former chief of police, a former...
Sorry.
You're good. A former health department worker, and a former child abuse investigator from Sumterville.
Damn.
So, like, this guy did...
He was probably genuinely trying to help her out. Who knows? Yeah. He could have been a dirtbag, but...
Yeah.
He sounds like he was definitely trying to help her out.
And his wife reported him missing, and his body was found the next day. He was found fully clothed, so, like, they weren't having sex.
Yeah.
And he was shot 7 times in the head and torso, and his vehicle was found later over in Suwanee County.
Yeah, that's a bit much. 7 in the head and torso.
Yeah, like, basically, she's just emptying her fucking chamber. Like, yeah. Whatever is in there.
So, her last killing is Walter Antonio, and he was 62 years old when he was murdered. He was killed on November 19th of 1990. He was a truck driver from Merritt Island, and he was shot 3 times in the back and 1 in the head. His almost nude body was found in Dixie County near a remote road, and his car was found 5 days later in Brevard County, which I feel like Charles was one of the only guys who wasn't partially naked.
Yeah.
I think most of them were in different states of undress and like,
baseball cap wearing.
Yeah. And it's like, did they actually, like, did she start to get them to think they were going to have sex, or did she take off their clothes after?
Well, you'll find out in the next, like, 2 minutes.
Oh.
Because there's a quote from her about, like, being raped once she's convicted and everything.
Oh, okay.
So she, were you done?
By yeah. The way?
Okay. I didn't know if you finished the bullet.
Yeah, I did. Sorry.
We can cut this out. So after she murders this last guy, Walter Antonio, she gets captured. So the police track her down, and she's found in a biker bar in Port Orange, Florida, called The Last Resort.
Nice.
Which is a great and very fitting name for this. This bar is actually still in business today, and they take pride in Aileen being there, and they have a picture of her with, like, a little plaque that says, Aileen Wuornos had her last beer here. And that's
love great. That for them.
This is when police also track down her girlfriend, Tyra, who had actually gone back to her family's home in Pennsylvania to get away from all this stuff.
Yeah.
And they try and make a deal with her. They tell her they won't prosecute her. They don't think that she did it if she gets a confession out of Aileen. Aileen finally confesses after the 4 days, just in order to keep Tyra out of trouble. Like, if Tyra hadn't have called her, she wouldn't have confessed. She confesses to all of the murders in detail, but does claim originally that they were all in self-defense because the men attacked and raped her. And this trial is fucking huge. It's broadcasted all over TV, and people are trying to make money through her from book deals, movie deals, selling their story. Like,
yeah.
People are going crazy
so
over this.
So many people tried to make money off of this.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people did.
Yeah.
And this woman named Arlene Prale sees Aileen on the TV and was like, I think this woman's innocent. I need to know her and talk to her. But the only way that someone can talk to someone in jail when it's this high fucking profile,
yeah,
is if they're related to her. So this woman and her husband straight up adopt Aileen Wuornos, who's in her fucking 30s.
Yeah.
And this woman, like, sells her story. She gets Aileen to, like, create art and, like, sells her art.
Yeah.
And just makes thousands of fucking dollars off of Aileen. And Aileen is like, fuck you, and kicks this woman out of her life.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, that woman probably at one point thought she was innocent, but more importantly, just wanted to make money.
And this trial was, like, also ended up being super expensive because they just had to ship her around to all the different jails and counties where she committed murder.
Yeah, they had to convict her in the county she did it.
And so after she is arrested, she has to take the psychopathy test where if you get 30 points, you're a psychopath. And she scores 32. Nice. So, psychopath. She is also diagnosed in jail with borderline personality disorder and antisocial personality disorder. So, like, she got some of that from her dad, who was schizophrenic.
Yeah.
And it's not an excuse, but it's a reason.
Yeah, a lot of people who are murderers end up having some type of mental illness, regardless of, like, psychopathy or sociopath. Like,
yeah, and whatever. It's like, these people, I don't think, really know that they have a mental illness.
No.
And they don't, and people don't around them don't fucking try and help them, and they don't get the help that they need before shit goes down.
Yeah, and it's, a lot of it is preventable, and a lot of the people, a lot of the people don't get the help that they need. So, Tyra ends up testifying against her in trial, and, which, like, I get it, you want to save yourself, but also Aileen, like, I think truly did love Tyra.
Yeah.
Because she she confessed to these murders.
Like, to save her.
Yeah. So she goes on trial for the murder of Richard Mallory on January 4th, 1992, and is convicted on January 27th, being sentenced to death on January 31st. She pleads no contest to the murders of Humphreys, Burris, and Spears. She said in a statement to the court, "I wanted to confess to you that Richard Mallory did violently rape me, as I told you, but these others did not. They only began to start to."
Which is where that comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so these other guys were going to have sex with her because she claimed to be a sex worker. Right. And she decided to shoot and rob them because of her violent past.
Yeah. She was also given 3 more death sentences on May 15th, 1992. And after pleading guilty to the murder of Charles Carscarden in June of 1993... she was given her 5th death sentence in November of that year. She was 36. After getting convicted, she turns and says to the jury, "I hope you all get raped." Which, actually, she says it, like, a lot more violently.
Yeah.
Like, it's really graphic.
And, like, the thing is, apparently, so she says it after she's convicted of being guilty, but before the sentencing. So, like, the people in the jury had to come back after being told that she hoped they got raped and fucking sentence her. Of course she gets sentenced to fucking death.
Yeah. Didn't she say something like, "I hope you and all of your family members get raped in the ass"?
I'm not sure of the exact.
I'm pretty sure it was something like, horrible super and graphic bad. Like that. Yeah. Yeah. So she spends all of her time in jail writing letters, sometimes 4 a day, to her friend Dawn, who published the book of all of her letters called Dear Dawn, Aileen Wuornos in Her Own Words. After almost 20 years in solitary confinement, which is enough to make anyone fucking go insane, by the way.
Especially if you're already insane.
Yeah. On July 1st, 2001, at the age of 45, she puts a stop to her appeals, says the murders were not in self-defense, and asks to be put to death. She says that she would kill again and has hate crawling through her system, which, like, at this point, I think she just wants to die.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, that's why she kind of stops changing her story. She just wants to fucking die. Which, if you were in solitary confinement, what the fuck?
Who? You're so popular.
No, it's, I have an alarm set. I should probably turn it off, but I know if I turn it off that I'm gonna forget.
Oh.
So, it's fine. I'll figure it out. So, sorry. On October 9th, 2002, at 46 years old, she is put to death by lethal injection.
Which, she, like, is very recent. Like, we were in the 3rd grade when she was put to death, which is just fucking insane to think about.
Yeah, because, like, you think of all of these murders happening like so distantly because that's easier to like process them.
Yes. As
if they didn't happen that recently, it's a lot easier to process. She denied having a final meal and decided on just having black coffee instead.
Another point of her being a psychopath.
Yeah, honestly. Her last words were, "Yes, I would just like to say I'm sailing with the rock and I'll be back, like Independence Day with Jesus, June 6th, like the movie, big mothership and all, I'll be back, I'll be back." So that
doesn't well, I work. Honestly have nothing to fucking say to that.
She was the 10th woman in Florida to receive the death penalty, fun fact. Should I do a more dramatic reading of her final words?
You 100% should.
"Yes, I would just like to say I'm sailing with the rock and I'll be back, like Independence Day with Jesus, June 6th, like the movie, big mothership and all, I'll be back, I'll be back."
So, again, like we said, people made a ton of fucking money off this.
Yeah.
And so, during the time of her trial, especially after she was executed,
yeah,
she shows up in pop culture. So, FBI profile Robert Ressler mentions Bornos in his autobiography.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he's the guy who did a bunch of stuff on, I'm pretty sure it was the Zodiac. It was either the Zodiac or Bundy. One of the
Robert Ressler is the guy, he's like one of the people who's portrayed in Mindhunter.
Oh, okay.
Like, he was the guy who created the term serial killer, I'm pretty sure. I think.
Okay.
And he, like, did all of that research, so.
Also, season 2 of Mindhunter is coming out.
When?
Season 3.
It's season 2.
Okay, season 2 in October, and I'm stoked.
I'm stoked, too, but that's too long for me to wait.
I know. But, like, Rick and Morty's coming out in November.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a good year, end of the year for
end
TV.
End of the year, yeah.
Yeah. Back to pop culture. In 2002, so the year that she was executed, Sue Russell writes a book about Wernos called Lethal Intent. In 2012, Lisa Kester and Daphne Gottlieb published the book Dear Dawn, Aileen Wernos in Her Own Words, which is that collection of letters from Aileen to her friend Dawn Botkins that she wrote during her time in solitary confinement. Two documentaries were made about Wernos by Nick Broomfield. The first one was called Aileen Wernos, The Selling of a Serial Killer, and that was made in 1993. And the second one was Aileen, Life and Death of a Serial Killer, and that was in 2003, the year after she was executed. She was featured on episodes of, like, documentary TVs, like Murder Me Famous, American Justice, Biography, and Deadly Woman. She has a TV movie called Overkill, The Aileen Wernos Story. The big one is the movie Monster, which was made and released in 2003, the year after she was executed, starring Charlize Theron as Wernos and Christina Ricci as Tyra Moore.
Yeah, which
is,
like,
nuts, because they're so much more attractive than Aileen and Tyra in
real
life.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know if you've seen pictures, because I know you haven't fucking seen the movie, but have you ever seen pictures of Charlize Theron in Monster?
I have not.
So, like, she won an award for this movie basically because she had the bravery to be ugly.
Wow.
Like, they made her ugly for the movie.
Yeah.
But Christina Ricci is just not an accurate portrayal of Tyra Moore at
all. She is not.
She's a tiny little attractive woman, and, like, Tyra Moore was, like, a bulkier woman who
she was
not classically feminine.
She was very butch, had very short hair.
Yeah.
Like, she was not Christina Ricci.
No.
She was also portrayed on popular TV shows like Criminal Minds and also American Horror Story Hotel. And there were also several songs, poems, and theatrical works about her.
Yeah.
Too many to fucking list.
Yeah. She's a really popular serial killer. I think because she's a woman, it's just really interesting to people that she committed violent murders as opposed to what poisoning. Women, yeah, like, women are most known for poisoning and things like that. So
yeah, not messy stuff.
Yeah. So
that was Aileen Wuornos.
That was Aileen Wuornos. Do you want to hear a Florida man story to kind of
wind down?
Yeah, wind down.
I mean, let me think about it.
Sure. It's a bit. We have to do it now.
Oh, fuck. Give me that Florida man story.
So, Florida man accused of robbing Chinese restaurant at Finger Point.
Oh, God.
A worker.
Gun.
A worker at the restaurant told police the suspect held his right hand up at her in a position that to her resembled a gun, with his hand in a fist, his thumb pointed up, and his index and second finger pointed straight out.
Oh, wait. So he did the middle finger,
he
too.
He did,
like,
yeah,
the Glock.
Yeah, he fucking pulled out the hand Glock, and he tried to rob this Chinese restaurant.
I'm crying a little bit.
Yeah. So I'm not going to read the rest of the article because it's just boring, but
does it say how old he is? Because I need to know that.
He's 56.
Okay. So he's a grown ass man.
Yeah. actually, let me just read it. It's really short. Let's see. A worker at the restaurant told police Berlin then held up his hand in the position of a finger gun. The victim believed Berlin might have a real weapon and was in fear of her life. She followed his demands, opening the cash drawer, where he then took the money inside. What? Oh, he took the money inside of the cash drawer. Jesus. I'm gonna
reading
cut
out
all
loud
of this.
Is hard.
It really is, because I'm also trying to scan ahead. To
yep,
see.
For the important parts.
Yeah. Let's
wow,
see.
If only
he stole $577 from this Chinese restaurant.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah.
a lot more than I thought a Chinese restaurant would keep on hand at all times.
Yeah. So that's the Florida man story.
That's a good one. That might be one of the best ones that we've had.
That would be me robbing someone.
Yes.
It's just like, here's my finger gun and I'm going to rob you now with
like
my
finger
gun. Like,
it caught me off guard when you said finger gun. Because I was like, okay, gunpoint, and then it like registered.
Yeah.
And, oh God, it was good. That was a good one.
Would you like to tell everyone where they can reach us?
So we have a couple different platforms. In real time, on May 31st of 2019, we actually released the first two episodes of this podcast today.
Yes,
and we are
ma'am.
Fucking stoked about it.
So stoked. The first one's a little rough.
That's okay. We know that the first one is a little rough.
Yeah, that
but
was
they
my
get
first
better.
Time ever editing. We had technical difficulties. It was a rough go.
The first one got deleted totally.
Yeah, it was just a time and a half, and I wasn't about to re-record the Zodiac Killer for a third time, so y'all get what you get.
Yep, and like I said, we're like the show The Office, which we both love. You have to get like through the first season in order to love it.
Yeah.
And with us, you have to get through the first episode.
Exactly.
And we know it, so you don't have to tell us.
Yeah. I'm sure you will anyway.
Yeah, that's fine. But anyways, we are on some social medias.
Oh, yes.
We are on Instagram as Crime Binge Podcast. We are on Twitter as Crime Binge. And you can also email us your hometown stories about murder or true crime. We'll take anything. We'll read the good ones. And that is crimebinge@gmail.com.
Yes. And then don't forget to like rate us, subscribe
yes.
to our
please
podcast.
Please download the episodes.
Download the episodes. Do all of that because we want to keep making episodes, and we also would like other people to listen to them besides just our friends and family. So
yeah, because that's about where we're at. So
help a sister out.
Yeah,
sisters.
Share this with your friends.
And
you know, we have a link. You can just share that
yeah,
off.
Just share it off, you know?
That'd be great.
But this has been episode 6 of Crime Binge, and
and we did it. We've done so many so far.
6.
I know.
So many.
It seems like a lot right now.
It does.
But once, like, hopefully we'll get up to, like, 100 and we're like, remember when we did 6?
All right. Well, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
See ya.
Goodbye.